Okay, when things get hard and you don't think you can take it anymore, I'm Emmy, aka the Birth Wizard.
And I'm Alex Barr.
And we're here to remind you to breathe so we can talk about uncomfortable surges to get you through those moments and open up about tough topics. This week is about to niche or not to niche. And we're going to start it off with this.
The question.
Y'all interacted with us. We made sure to do a poll. So I think it's important for us to, like, first talk about that poll because I think it's interesting. And then we can talk about our thoughts.
Love it. Like, yep.
All that. 78% of you said that you niche or attempt to niche. And then 22% said, anyone, just give me the pregos. Just give me the pregos.
Random person on the street, you're pregnant.
You're mine.
Gotta be your doula. But also don't do that, because if they're not pregnant, you're an asshole.
Yeah. And we had a couple, like, interesting, like, responses. It was everything from, like, I just feel that I need to keep myself open to anyone who comes through the door, or, like, to me, if they need a doula, I should be open to them.
Yeah.
Versus the other side that's like, I don't know everyone's journey, so I niche so that way I can understand the particular journey and, like, how to help them.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see that the majority of people do at least believe in niching or, like, marketing themselves, because that's really what we're talking about, marketing themselves in a particular way. And yeah,
because just because your niche is one thing doesn't mean that's the only client that you're serving.
Oh, of course.
Or that you're unable to catch other people that mm-hmm. are outside of that,
mm-hmm.
that are still interested in you, like you, really want you to be there, kind of thing.
Of course. And I think anyone who, like, markets themselves a certain way knows that no matter what, there's going to be someone who comes along and is like, I love you. And it's like,
yes.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Sweet. You're not usually my typical customer, but let's do this.
Well, so let's talk about this. So, because you have a niche.
Do I?
I don't know if anybody knows.
I have a very particular niche. Yes. I like them broken. I like them traumatized. And I like them needing a VBAC in particular. Or a planned cesarean in particular. My niche came up with because of something that I just spoke about. I understand that journey. And I understand the obstacles there and, like, what it takes to do it and some of the things that are said to you. So that's my niche. So primarily I do VBAC or planned general cesarean.
Mm-hmm.
So of course I've had plenty who aren't that.
Yeah.
I've had plenty of first time moms. I had a fourth time mom who had a home birth.
Okay.
And all natural births. Like, she just dug the vibe. And those particular people just were like, I like you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not the type that's like, no, never.
Yeah.
However, I think it's made abundantly clear in my voice on social media, the mm-hmm. things I talk about, the things I talk about inside the community.
Your classes, your tagline,
right?
Everything.
Everything is made very, very clear of who I'm marketing towards and
who I'm
trying to get into my, like, clientele.
And so how do you feel, like, is there people that come to you that you say no to? I know we've talked about that a little bit, but as far as being so far outside your niche?
I have not said no to a person who's outside of my niche. I have said no to certain people who are in it, though.
Okay.
And that's because when you get to know a certain niche very well, you can point out, like, very quickly, understand
the red flags.
The red flags.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of those where they come to me at 39 weeks or they're with a crappy provider. I'm like, no, I know where this is leading and it's not fun times at Richmond High. Right? no thanks.
Yeah.
But I do, like, know that they need someone, so I refer them forward.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's the fair thing to do. But yeah, I've yet to run into a case where I've been like, you're outside my niche or whatever it may be. The typically the people who are quote-unquote, outside my niche are the first-time moms.
Yeah.
And I'm very open about, like, I don't dig first-time
I
moms.
I know, I've heard it.
Like, I don't dig it. I have a really hard time with it. And I have to go to my friends who are doulas who, oh, like, that's their niche, is first-time moms.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you guys, like, that's, like, so much, like, heart work that I'm just, I'm not equipped for.
Mm-hmm.
Because first-time birthers just don't listen. Like, on a whole different level than
yeah.
most birthers.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, they think they know better than me at times. Mm-hmm. And I just have too much of a, like, bitch, why'd you hire me then? So I love first-time birthers because there's so much excitement in it. And, like,
mm-hmm.
oh, my God. But I find that the excitement is in the other realm. And maybe the issue is because of VBAC and how it is, typically it is an excitable first-time birther who ends up becoming a VBAC.
Okay.
And so I'm just seeing that trajectory of, like, oh, crap, I'm going to have you back in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have to help de-traumatize you some. Like, get
yeah.
you to unpack that for you to be ready for another birth.
Yeah.
And, like,
so it's almost, like, a little, like, scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's, like, the most honest and real way I can say it is
yeah.
I see too often, like, them going down paths where I'm like, cool, in 2 years you're going to be attempting to be back.
Yeah.
Because you didn't listen to me now.
Yeah.
And you've made enough of a relationship with me where I know you'll call.
Yeah.
And
they'll call you for the second time. Yeah.
And then I'll have to be like, yeah, I get it. Like, that was a crappy time. Like,
mm-hmm.
let me help you get a better time. Like, remember that provider I talked about last time? I really need you to call him now.
Yeah.
Like,
I need you to pick a better provider. I need you to kind of, you know,
do the things.
Take in a little more of the knowledge that
right.
you're providing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. And no, your sister doesn't know it all.
Yeah.
Or no, your friend really had no clue.
And it is interesting when people are like, oh, well, so-and-so told me, and but you hired me
right.
because of this, right? And it's not like my provider told me. It's like my friend and my sister and so-and-so told me. And I understand that those perspectives are important to somebody, to a lot of people, but it still does feel like, why did you hire someone that had more knowledge? And why did you hire someone who has more resources or knowledge of your community or things like that?
Yeah.
If you were just going to listen to your sister, you could have listened to your sister for free.
For sure.
Instead of paying someone's birth fee.
So, I essentially ended up niching, though, from the very beginning because I was someone who, I had a doula for my last birth. I adore her. Again, I'm not here to talk shit on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell, like, VBAC's not her thing.
Yeah.
Her thing is actually home birth, and it's, like, individuals who have had vaginal births before
mm-hmm.
and, like, pretty easygoing times, which, like, again, everyone's got their thing.
Yeah.
But I think it threw her for a bit of a loop, even with this being my second VBAC, like, how much stuff I was still processing.
Yeah.
And when I was looking around in the market, there really wasn't someone who was an expert in what I was preparing for. There really wasn't a person who, like, understand the mental games and understand, like, the stuff you can face. Like, I had conversations with different providers about how close my babies were, or about my scar,
mm-hmm.
and how you have, in a lot of ways, have to consent to extra interventions in order to make sure you have even the chance at a vaginal birth.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff that, look, I'm going to be real, sometimes doulas are shitty about, where it's
yeah.
like, well, you can deny that ultrasound at 38
yeah.
weeks. Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
But then that could shoot me in the foot, and then I don't even get a chance of attempting the
yeah.
the vaginal birth.
It's a different path to walk on. And that is where I feel, and I'm sure we'll talk about more, that I think that's the importance of niching,
mm-hmm.
is the specialization in a certain type of person, a certain type of birth, a certain type of birther, whatever the niche may be, because then you get to really become the expert,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You don't have to adapt to every single birth every time differently,
right?
Right.
Right.
You have some base knowledge, and then you add to that with each client.
For sure. And I felt like a ventriloquist right then. the other part of it is that it becomes very quick, I feel, to find clients.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times those nichings come with communities.
Yeah.
And those communities start to spread word for you. Mm-hmm. Are you a part of any niches, or do you niche personally?
So I'm still new to doula work, but my niche that I'm really trying to go after is plus size birthers.
Yeah.
And shockingly, it's because of my own experience as a plus size birthing person, and the experience that came with that. And it was, my pregnancy was very hard and traumatic because of the way I was treated, because I was plus size, the way I was talked to.
It's such fucking bullshit. Sorry.
I wasn't, I agree. It's such fucking bullshit. And there's just, even with, first of all, there's tons and tons of fatphobic providers and fatphobic people and fatphobic nurses, and it's hard to, like, even be plus size without the pregnancy on top of it, because you're being so studied and so looked at and so, like, you know, probably in a way where a lot of people haven't been before, you know.
I think scrutiny is a really good word.
Scrutiny, that's a perfect word for it.
Yeah.
And so I had that experience and it sucked.
Yeah.
And but I was able to find some power in it and some power, take some power back and heal some trauma in the things that I've learned and the things that I have found out since I had my child. And like, I've healed a lot of that, and I felt like I almost healed a lot of, like, some trauma that I, from my whole life of being plus size, right? Like, you get to, like, kind of take back your body a little bit, and, like, it gets to be yours, and it gets to be good, and, you know, but everybody else will tell you that it's not, and everybody else will tell you that it's dangerous, and you're doing the wrong thing, and,
oh, man, I can't relate to any of that at all.
And, you know, I would imagine that most people who hit whatever BMI limit that, you know, happens to be, experience those things and get spoken to that way. And I just think we should do better. And I don't think that, and this is something you and I've talked about, I don't know if I know that good providers exist and, but even people who mean well and aren't purposefully hateful, right? They still say the wrong things. They still have the wrong mindset. They still are not up to date on all of the information and the data and the evidence that is coming out about being plus size and about plus size pregnancy.
Right.
And so, again, that's where I feel like being able to specialize and being able to really dig into, like, I know this, like, I got this, and I can provide you with all this stuff so quickly, and just, and know where to send you when you need support, and find the people who aren't fatphobic, and that are going to treat you well, and things like that over time. I think that has such a massive benefit, and I hope that by niching myself that way, that when people meet with potential clients that are having those issues, that I'm the person that they come to, kind of thing. And that is the hope, that people are not so caught up on competition and taking every client that they possibly can and making the sale every time, rather than finding, like, sending the person to the doula who would be right for them.
I mean, I've sent you people because I knew, like,
People have hired me because of your recommendations.
Right,
so, yeah.
Because I know that that's not my realm. Like, and it's interesting because, like, I am actively in the midst, I think all of us should be, but I'm actively in the midst of tearing down all of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's hard. It is such hard work.
Yes.
And that's why I can't get hung up on being mad at people who still have that, right?
Oh, for sure.
I can't get hung up on that. But I can help people, like, combat that. And I can help people find that power in themselves to speak up for themselves, to advocate for themselves, to bring the data to the doctor's appointments, right? To, you know, to have that backed when they have those conversations.
Yeah.
You know, that is what I think is the first thing that I could combat.
For sure. Because I even have it a bit in my own story. Like, it was written on my OR report. The reason I ended up with a cesarean was due to my BMI. Like, we won't even talk about the 4-day induction that my baby was ruddy or, like, that I got an infection. Like, let's not do any of that. She's fat, so.
Must be it.
Right, like. Right? It's your fault, fat lady. Right, like. We had to cut you open. But it's something that, like, is, I feel, still so new to the space and, like, actually talking about it and, like, actually challenging providers on, like, why do you need to obey me when you're there for appointments? Because, like...
And what are you going to do with that knowledge, right?
Right.
Is it going to be used to shame me? Is it going to be used to tell me that I need to see a nutritionist? Is it going to be... a reason to tell me to start keeping a food log, even though I've told you that I, you know, have experienced with disordered eating and that is not a good thing for me, you know, like, cause that's what happened to me, you know? And so like there, if you're not ready for that kind of stuff, it's hard.
Yeah.
Right. And that was, my experience is it's really hard to be like, oh, I really didn't. And I was naive to think that going into my pregnancy, that my BMI wasn't going to be as big of an issue as it was. And it, so it was kind of a shock to me.
I think that's fair, though, because even with VBAC, I did not realize that having my first two at 70, like the estimated due date being 16 and a half months apart, I did not know that it locked me out of a ton of providers.
Yeah.
Because that's not information that's talked about.
Yeah.
So I can completely understand that. I went in thinking, like, hey, I got the right kind of stitches. I did the things. Like, I'm making sure that, like, it was a healthy pregnancy.
Yeah.
What do you mean I can't have a home birth?
Yeah.
Like, what do you, why? Right. Other than, like, something that's arbitrary that was made in the laws by lobbyists. Anyway, but, like, I think it's totally valid that you walk into pregnancy not thinking one of the things about your body.
I don't know. Excited about my pregnancy. Right, like, that's where I was. Like, hell yeah, I'm pregnant. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
This is what I've wanted. And this is a you know, again, it was because I was plus size, because I was fat, I was all the things I did to prepare for my pregnancy. And the fact that I had a completely healthy pregnancy was irrelevant to a lot of people and my providers in a sense, right? And that sucks.
Yeah, for sure.
That sucks to be like, well, I spent the past year, like, working on balancing my hormones. I don't know if it worked, but I tried and, you know, and exercising and eating well and taking care of myself. I was probably at the healthiest place I've ever been with my body, mind, when I got pregnant.
Right.
And it meant nothing because I was still fat, you know?
Right.
And so that's such a hard thing to go through. And this is the thing that I question about this niche is, since we're talking about it so in depth.
Let's talk about it.
So am I going to be able to make a living on this niche?
Okay.
And the reason why I question that is because of all the shame around it. And all the shame around being plus size. And like you said, this stuff isn't talked about in mass. And thankfully, there are some really great, like, fat influencers who are so on top of it and so on top of sharing this stuff and so on top of sharing all of the, like, all of the information about plus size pregnancy and about their own experiences that I really think will be beneficial. But there's so much shame and... there's also a large population of people who will be considered plus size pregnancies that don't consider themselves plus size.
I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I guess the word is mid size, but that feels
not. That.
That's like the place I fall though, because I'm not perceived as plus size because I'm not overtly fat.
Yeah.
However, everything about my health and all of this
is colored by your BMI.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And BMI is bullshit, and we can go into that another time, but it is absolute bullshit. It was not made by a doctor, and it was not made to be used on people.
Right.
it was created as a study of
mm-hmm.
white men in France.
Right. Yeah. I know all of this.
Yeah. So it's absolute nonsense. And so I do, that is where I'm going. That is where I'm trying to focus on my marketing. I'm creating like a plus size pregnancy type workshop type thing, webinar type thing, because I really think that earlier I can get people that information, that confidence, the better. But I do worry and wonder about the ability to make a living on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Which kind of leads greatly into why I think people are afraid to niche.
I think you're right about that. I do. I'm like a hopeless, hopeful person, right?
A hopeful person.
But like, going back to the whole Hufflepuff thing, I truly believe you could make a great income off of that. I think there is a need for that, and there is a niche for that. It's just, unfortunately, when you go into niching, this is the part that I don't think people enjoy. You have to become an educator.
Yeah.
You have to become the pillar in that community. You have to do it. You cannot do the thing of like, well, they'll find me. No, you have to be so fucking loud and run the groups and be in everywhere so that way they can find you because your thing isn't talked about.
Yeah.
Or your thing is talked about, but maybe you're in a niche like, I don't know, unmedicated birth.
Yeah.
Which is a niche. Oh my god, dog. Come here. Is a niche, but it's seen as more of a mainstream one. It's more likely for you to run into someone who's like, yeah, I don't want to have an epidural at my birth.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a little bit easier to like find those people.
Yeah.
Because you run a hypnobirthing class and there's your niche. Like,
versus you're gonna find the people who are seeking that.
Versus like a like fat pregnancy.
Yeah. That a lot of people don't want to call themselves that. And that's, again, there's a lot of shame behind being fat. And I think that's why people may have a hard time with that.
Okay.
And that's why, I don't know. And so that's my worry. And I don't care if I don't make money. I'm still going to do it anyway.
Right. So
that's kind of where I'm at. I'll figure something out if I can't make a lot of money on it. But that is still what I need to do and what I feel that I'm being called to do. Because, oh my God, if someone had sat me down and said, this might be what happens.
Yeah.
This is what you can say. Here's the information I can give you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was like 34, 36 weeks when one of the midwives was like, oh, like, I wouldn't have recommended that you lost weight before you got pregnant, and like sent me articles and sent me information and sent me like medical journals about plus size pregnancy. And I was like, what?
You're right.
Right? And I was so like, I was like, oh my God, like, thank you. Like, that meant so much. And if anybody could have sat down and told me that stuff any earlier, I think it would have made a big difference in my pregnancy.
Yeah. I again, the Hufflepuff of me. I'm so sorry that, like, anyone, like, dared say things like that to you.
Yeah.
Like, that's
And the thing is it's, you know, I don't know. It's hard because it's, like, they're doctors. They're saying these things for a reason, right? They're saying these things for, hopefully, because they're trying to help people or in whatever way they can. But are they really helping? Or are they adding an immense amount of stress to someone's pregnancy, which is terrible, you know?
I think it's interesting that as society gets more comfortable with the idea of decolonizing and actually questioning our beliefs and where do they come from and like truly like remembering humanity and like affirming people, how much more I think this topic will be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And where is health versus fat? Because they're they're one and the same at the moment, and that's completely unfair.
And literally all of the evidence that's coming back is telling people that it's separate.
Right.
And common sense will tell you that it's separate.
Mm-hmm.
Because thin people get, quote, fat diseases.
Right.
That alone is kind of like, okay, maybe there's something else to it.
Yeah.
In my opinion, and in science's opinion at this point, right? Because
right.
there is a lot more evidence coming out about it, and that does make me feel happy to see that tide turning, you know? And, but it's still sucks. And that's why I feel like I need to do it, and that's where
yeah.
I want my niche to go. But so I think that this is a great time to talk about why you think people won't niche.
People won't, literally only my opinion, there's one or two reasons you won't niche. One is that you have a niche, more than likely, that you're interested in, but it's too much work to get into that niche, to like do the work so people know you're a part of that niche, to advertise it, to like make people aware of it, you know, all of the work that goes into it. Because like I said, you have to become an educator, you have to become a pillar, you have to be so loud. You like, there's not like, and you guys can see it on Instagram, there's not a niched doula or birth worker out there that isn't really fucking loud about it.
Yeah.
Like, if you see the transfertility, like,
mm-hmm.
doulas out there, if you see any sort of, like, VBAC ones, if you
yeah.
see any sort of niching, they're really loud about it.
Yeah.
It's almost to an activist level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not everyone's interest, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that can intimidate people, and they're like, oh, never mind. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be
and
an
it,
activist.
It is intimidating.
Right.
Like, I feel like this podcast is, like, my first foray into, like, actually speaking my mind, because I really
yeah.
struggle with it, especially when it comes to social media. But even in meeting doulas when I was a new doula, it was nerve-wracking to say, like, this is what I want to focus on. These are the people that I want to focus on. And it feels like you're being like, ah, I'm going to say no to all these people, right? That's what it feels like. All these people are going to be lined up, and you're going to tell them no, which does not happen. I will say,
that's
it doesn't happen, but that is, like, the worst case scenario in your mind when you're thinking about that, right? That's what I remember thinking. Like, I would love to be a doula for plus-size pregnancies, but then being like, oh, but then what if people who aren't plus-size want to hire me?
I've done some mentoring, and I cannot tell you how much it pisses me off when I'm like, what is your ideal client? Because even if you don't niche, you have an ideal client.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fucking lie to me. You have someone in mind that you're like, oh my God, that birth.
Yeah.
And I would love to do 1,000 of that birth,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'll go through the exercise, and they'll get really like, nope, I don't want to like say it.
Mm-hmm.
Girlfriend, I'm just asking you, like, what kind of music do they listen to?
Yeah.
Where do they shop?
Yeah.
Do they hang out at a coffee shop, or are they more like tea drinkers? Like,
mm-hmm.
just tell me that stuff. You don't even have to like dive into like what kind of birth they're seeking, but
yeah.
that will help you inform like what kind of like motifs to do in your social media.
Yeah.
Because it's very different, the person who like grew up listening to My Chem versus Taylor Swift,
mm-hmm.
and how you will like
yeah.
market towards
and,
that person.
And that's an interesting point, because I do feel like a niche could be a type of person, not
yeah.
a type of birth, right?
Right.
You're going after someone who meshes with your style, your energy. That's kind of a niche in itself, especially if you're talking about things like, you know, what music do they listen to? What type of personality do these people need? What type of person do they need in their birth space,
correct.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't even have to be like, oh, I'm choosing this particular type of birth or type of risk factor,
correct.
Essentially,
yeah.
to work with.
Right. Yeah, and I, again, like, I just don't believe people when they're like, I want everyone.
Yeah.
You really don't. Like, and it's okay to say that you don't. And if you really are that person, this is the part where I piss some of you off. I wonder how interesting you are. Like, that you're so mild-mannered
mm-hmm.
that nothing phases you. Like, you're
yeah.
willing to work with everyone.
Yeah.
You were really that, like, this is coming from the Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Like, everyone is,
yeah.
like, cool with you. Everyone? Everyone?
Everyone.
So, you're telling me no spectrum of anything will bother you.
Yeah.
I would love to put that to the test with certain people. But I also, like, in being kind of a dick in this way, I feel that those who don't niche, you can see it in their voice of their doula work or mm-hmm. what they post and all of that. And usually you can't fucking tell who they are.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to market to every single person. And then they get lost in the thousandth version of that, like, spice orange color with the cream that's, like, really hot right now.
Those are my website colors, Emmy. You're roasting me right now. Those are my website colors. It's okay. I'm rebranding. It's okay. That is literally my website is burnt orange with cream on it.
Man,
but to be fair, I literally just picked my favorite color.
It's just funny to me because you can see it, like, the like, and I think some of it may be the inexperience of yourself when you go into dual work.
Yeah.
It could be that.
Finding yourself in that. Yeah.
Right. It could also be like, oh, I'm going to be a doula. People who hire doulas like earth tones and they like crystals and they like goddesses. I am going to call myself Crystal Goddess Doula. And it's going to be all earth tones and we're going to rock a good time together.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and this is me definitely reading people, and I don't mean it in, like,
a mean way.
Mean way, but, like, I wonder if you had taken a few more moments beforehand, if maybe you would have a more unique voice, and you could still come across as marking to everyone.
Yeah.
Because, like, Mr. Rogers hits with everyone, and,
yeah.
like, but he has a very particular look,
yeah.
to the point where there's, like, three spin-offs of his show, and you can be like, this is a Mr. Rogers show,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah.
That's the thing I get off of it. The people who do not niche either, again, this sounds really bad now when I say it out loud, but like, don't know themselves well enough to understand what niche they should be in or what niching is.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, I don't want to be an activist.
Yeah, which I think is I think there's two points I'd like to say about that. The first one, I feel like, do you feel that maybe another reason for not wanting to niche is a lot of big doula organizations and a lot of people who run agencies kind of talk about this chameleon doula, right? This doula who fits into wherever space they can find. And you know what I'm saying? And I feel like I see that a lot, especially when you run into agencies and things like that, or even just some of the big organizations that are certifying doulas. It's very like, oh, we're going to teach you how to fit in any scenario.
So you and I are both military kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I can chameleon like no other because of that experience.
I can't. I failed every time.
I can
the outcast everywhere.
That's okay. I mean, I was too, but I can do it. Like, still to this day, a friend of mine calls me the politician. Because, like,
oh yeah.
Everywhere I go, I can make people
local
like me.
Exactly.
Shaking hands, kissing babies, kissing hands, shaking babies.
I promise I didn't think it was that bad the first time. That was a lot.
But yeah, like, I know what it means to fit in everywhere, and that does not interest me. Like,
it doesn't seem fun.
But at the same point, like, I'm not running an agency.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. I had no interest when people would be like, you need to make your brand about the people and not about you. I have no interest in that.
Yeah. I also think that's false. I know that's like the typical marketing lingo. I think that's false in doula work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel that as a doula, especially if you're a solo doula or partners or whatever, you are selling yourself.
Yeah.
You are selling your presence in that birth room.
Right.
You're selling your self in those prenatals and those late night phone calls and text messages and things like that. And if they're not comfortable with you and they don't know who you are, I think they're less likely to hire you. And I think they're more likely to maybe not understand who you are and what they can get from you or what they can ask from you.
Yeah, for sure. The other part that I don't agree with it, and this is coming out on the fly, is that feels like a way to make doula work about the money and not about the pure activism that's inside of it.
Yeah.
Like, real talk. Yeah, we should be able to make a living wage off of this, you're in this work, fighting the system, fighting the man, to a point, so, like...
And that's literally why I was, like, attracted to doula work. And then I get into doula work, and most of the doulas are like, we don't advocate. We're not activists, right? And, like, to see that, and that was going to be my second point about the activism. It's scary to be an activist. It's scary to speak up for that stuff. Yeah. It's scary to share things that might ostracize other people. And that's where... That's been one of my struggles with social media, because in person, I have no problem speaking my mind. Like, I have no problem sharing what I feel and what I think, but social media feels like a scary place.
It's funny.
Because it is a scary place, and people are mean.
I think that's so funny.
Unfortunate, like, I shared a TikTok that went viral, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
Very small, like, viral, but the backlash was terrible, and that is very scary to me.
Yeah, and I think that should be recognized, because you and I have different life experiences when it comes to this. I actually find it much scarier, like, in this space, to speak my truth, than on those posts and those reels that I do. Because to me, one, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. But you couldn't come and say it to my face. Like, I know for a fact you would never come to my home and call me these things. Like, whatever, man. Like, have a nice day.
See, here, I'm like, I said it, I can't take it back. All right. I could maybe edit it out, but I probably won't.
And in person, I'm very careful about how I choose my words. And I think it's because it's that closer relationship where I can see hurt.
Yeah.
And I can feel like, oh, no, like, that struck a chord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to ostracize them. So I have a much more difficult time in person speaking my mind like I do online.
Yeah.
Or being the goof that I kind of portray online. I think it's interesting that you and I have it flipped.
Yeah.
But I think because my version of the internet wasn't real. Like, they're not real.
Yeah.
It's like make-believe.
And it's, for me, it's not the ostracizing of the real people or the fake people, the people I don't know, but it's maybe the people that I do know.
Right.
That it will, like, have, like, a backlash kind of thing. And that's why I'm really trying to come more into myself and sharing that in all places and being genuine in all places, because I do feel that, like, what you were talking about not being true to yourself and true to who you are and sharing that, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
It does feel very inauthentic.
Yeah.
You know?
I hate the word authentic. Because it's been taken over by, like, Instagram and, like,
But
I'm authentic.
But it really,
it's true.
It felt that way.
It's
right?
True.
And
yeah.
So that's where I was like, hell yeah, I'll do a podcast. Hell yeah, I'll talk about these things that I will talk to my husband about all day.
Right.
You know, or talk to people in person about all the time. But then as soon as social media comes in, I'm, like, typing things and then deleting them and then typing them and then deleting them. And, like, I'm like, maybe I should stop doing that.
Right.
You know?
But I do think, because, like, it does relate to your niche, maybe a fat pregnant woman seeing you speak your mind might give them the trust that you would speak your mind for them, right?
Yeah.
Be that advocate.
Yeah.
And right now, maybe they're seeing, like, I don't know if she has the cojones to, like,
and that's what's so
me.
Hard about having to use social media as your platform and not your true self. Because I feel that people who've met me would know that I'm ready to burn everything to the ground.
Yeah.
But it's, again, you have to figure out a way to portray that on social media
and
on internet spaces and things like that.
And I don't think every platform's meant for every person.
Yeah.
It's just not.
Yeah.
That's why blogs still exist, right?
Yeah.
And
that's why I don't post on TikTok.
But, like, even I can say this, like, reels aren't really my thing. I do them as jokes.
Yeah.
Like, there's no actual information passed along when I do reels.
And they're cute.
They're cute and all of this,
they're
but they're
shareable and they're really, you know.
But they're not, I'm not saying hard stuff on there.
Yeah.
So it's not until you dive into my captions do you really, like, see heart and truth mm-hmm. and, like, things really being said.
Yeah.
But yeah, I completely empathize with you of how difficult this must be of, like, knowing your niche and not knowing how to, like, make that work for you or, like, how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Or even someone who's like, yeah, that seems intimidating. And I really do want to be the doula for everyone because everyone deserves a doula.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that's a statement that is valid and a statement to, like, be conscious of, you know,
yeah.
that I think anybody could benefit from that. And, you know, that's something we kind of touched on in our little bonus episode, which will come out
eventually.
but it is like, I think everybody can benefit from a doula, and maybe there isn't the perfect one for you, or maybe there isn't one near you that is
right.
like fits you completely, but that doesn't mean that it's not. That they wouldn't be helpful and they wouldn't be help you have that empowering birth or the birth that you want, you know.
I think now, like, listening to you, I've, like, finally put the finger on the pulse of why not niching or not portraying exactly who you are really bothers me, which is that old quote of, like, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think about, like, every time you say yes to a client, you have to say no to another potential one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're saying yes to every client that comes to you, there's some doula out there who could be better suited for that person.
Yep.
And, like, that really bothers me because more than likely you might not know that person's story like you could
yeah.
if you had, like, pared down your knowledge.
Well, and that's what really bothers me, like I said at the beginning, about this whole, like, we're in competition with each other.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, that energy, because I just, first of all, I don't think that needs to be true. And second of all, like, what are you going to do without, like, the community of other doulas? And the, like
start an agency. I'll make my own community and hire them in. That was some actual shit talking, guys. Sorry.
We can cut it out. But you get what I'm saying is
yeah.
that's where it feels like that is, it feels like clients are scarce. It feels like, especially when people are new and they're trying to catch that momentum, like I can understand the want to like grab every client you can, you know, but then you see people who have been doing this forever who are still doing that, you know?
Yeah.
And so again, I think that you have to have a different mindset about it. And I can say that I, you know, it is a privilege to be able to, I'll acknowledge my privilege in being able to take the time to find my niche and take the time to figure out how to get to them and things like that, you know?
I think there's privilege in that, and I'll recognize mine too.
Yeah.
There's privilege in the fact that I happen to be in a relationship where my man makes good money,
mm-hmm.
and he like, fully supports the stream and sent me to a lot of education, like,
mm-hmm.
right off the bat. I know a lot of people don't have access to that.
Yeah.
And it hurt when I had to, like, fill it out of my taxes of how much I spent on education.
Yeah.
I was like, oh
yeah.
boy. That was
rough.
That was a lot of money. But, you know, there is that to it of, like, what I'm talking about is for people to get a ton of education and to be able to niche down.
Mm-hmm.
There is privilege in what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I just think the part that, like, I'm not willing to let go of is knowing who you are when you go into the work.
Yeah. And finding yourself before you get into that.
Yeah, because I feel that if you're going to be there in someone's greatest transformation, you need to have gone through some of your own.
Yeah. That doesn't necessarily mean childbirth, but
no,
and childbirth could be the opposite of what that is, you
correct.
Know, the opposite of the transformation, you
right.
mean, depending on the type of birth you had. You
correct.
Know?
Because a lot of my favorite doulas are actually childless doulas
yeah.
because, we don't bring any of their own stuff into it,
mm-hmm.
but the ones that I've met come into it because this is what they fucking want to do. Like
yeah.
they were like, that's what I should be,
mm-hmm.
which how someone like. Went through the yellow brick road, did this, is like,
yeah.
oh, tell me that story. Like, so,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like, I really want to make sure that I put across, like, just knowing who you are, even if you are the person who's, like, everyone and anyone.
Yeah.
Just really...
Know what that means. And
right.
Know, like, how you want to present yourself. Because you can say, okay, I'll work with anybody that wants to work with me. But are you presenting the best, like, the true version of yourself to these people so that they know what to expect?
And I think also if you have someone who is a part of what could be considered a niche or a marginalized community, and that's really where a lot of my, like, caution comes from. It's like, if you're working with individuals, even on the rare occasion that's from a marginalized community, actually understand the obstacles they're coming against.
Yeah.
And have true knowledge there and, like, be questioning your privilege all the way through that and, like, know where they're coming from, because that's important. That's how you doula, right?
Yeah.
You can't just show up for the physiological birth part and hope it all works out.
And I feel like that anything and everything doula, I think that's a high expectation.
Yeah,
of knowledge, of understanding, of tools in your toolbox, of how to help people. I think that is a tall order to be able to handle anything at all times, right?
Yeah.
And birth is unpredictable, and there will be situations where you are dealing with stuff you've never dealt before, or there a lot of things happen, right, that maybe you've never experienced before. But the ability to niche and maybe become more of an expert in a smaller topic, I think is really beneficial.
Yeah, I do too. And I think one of the big things I need to point out is just about every industry out there requests you to niche.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the field you go into, eventually it will request you to niche.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you'll fall into it.
Right.
You know? And I'm wondering if some of the people who start off,
like,
anybody end up falling into a niche, you know?
Yeah.
End up falling into, like, oh, this is where I want to be. These are the births that I want to support.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So I should be more patient with those people. They're just figuring it out.
They're doing the best they can.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And, like, I'm the first to say it, like, I have really high expectations. But I think it's because I've been there in that time of interviewing people and they had no idea about my journey. I'm like, come on, guys. This is one in three people end up with a cesarean and they might want another baby. Like, you should have baseline knowledge
about cesarean.
Right.
Like that. And
yeah. So I think that's where a lot of this comes from. Like, it's not even fair.
Yeah. But that is maybe something we'll talk about in our certifying birth conversation.
Right.
Because then how do you, as a new doula...
Right, of course. And I'm sure you're
in there.
Part of it also comes with you of, like, how many people in this country alone are considered obese or fat, and you really don't know basic stats and, like, basic things, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's basic stats and just, like, basic human decency.
Right.
Right? Like, if a fat person tells you that they exercise a certain amount of times a week, you should believe them. You shouldn't keep saying, like, are you exercising? Are you exercising? Are you exercising? Are you sure you're exercising enough? Right?
But I think it's interesting that somehow every week we end up agreeing at some point. Eventually, one day, we'll have a topic that we vehemently disagree on. But
I cannot wait. Right? But that means we have to get more and more controversial.
Yeah, for sure. I guess, like, because some of the things we read of responses over people who don't niche is what you were saying of, like, leaving myself open for people.
And yeah.
Again, I need to be kind to that person because I think that comes from a really great place. I think I have a hard time with it. It's like,
because that's not something you would want to do.
Right.
Yeah. And I think that I do want to be clear, like, niching does not mean you don't take people outside of your niche, right?
Sure.
But it does mean that that's who you're focusing on. That's who you're marketing towards. That's maybe who you're creating education for.
Yeah.
But I would feel that being that chameleon would be hard. You know?
I think it's exhausting.
Like I said, I failed at it being a military brat. So I wouldn't do well. I would really not do well in this intense high energy situations. I can be nobody but myself in those situations. And that was really what clicked for me when I went to my first birth, was like,
oh. Yeah.
Knew exactly what to do.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm quite the opposite. I'll chameleon the fuck out of everything. And then people are like, wow, I didn't know she was like that.
Yeah.
When I also get the highest praise, as much as I hate the word, is the highest praise I always get is like, oh my god, you're so authentic. Everyone knows who you are.
Now we know why.
It just, like, bothers me.
You know, but authentic in people knowing who you are.
Right.
Separate things.
Right,
know?
For yeah. sure. But, like, wow, like, we can see who you are constantly.
Because
like,
everybody loves at me.
Shit, dude. I hate that. Yeah. So, I'm glad we made this one clear and kind of what we feel. Obviously, write us or tell us, like, what we got right or wrong. And
yeah,
like,
we would love to hear from it. I would love an email, guys.
Right.
I'm still waiting for an email.
ringoffirepodcast@gmail.com.
I'm not desperate, but I would love to read an email.
And
but
we would love for you guys to join us on Twitch, because over here we can actually respond to you very easily during these discussions, and we'll genuinely respond to you back.
Yep.
And like, once we reach 50, we can start to get Alex back to Brenda. Like,
maybe I don't need therapy. I have this podcast.
I mean, sure. But we could get cute mugs or something for us to start to market.
Oh, we need to actually get tattoos.
Yeah.
That say bitches hate nuance. Because that will be
right
forever.
Look, I said it on a bonus episode, but I'm going to tell you guys today, if you guys get us to 100, I'm going to go get the tattoo, but just hate nuance. And I would like some real cholo-ass letters.
I would love it.
I want some real, like, cholo. Oh my gosh. Like, yes. Like, represent my roots.
Yeah.
Of, like...
I love it. Oh, I love it.
It has to be here or up my leg.
Yes.
You know, like,
yes.
One of those.
You could do, like, up the back of your arm.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good one, too.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
where, like, dudes will put their last name.
Right.
In case
yeah,
they
yeah.
forget.
Which, I don't understand. How do you even... Like, I'm actually double-jointed, and it's a rough look. Like, yeah. But 100 people on Twitch, I'm going to get bitches hate nuance, and then Alex will join me, too.
Yes, absolutely.
But as always, I'm Emmy.
And I'm Alex Bond.
Oh my god, we did it.
We did it. We did it right, the beginning and the end.
Yes.
For those at home who have not kept up, we've been really bad at remembering our names.
and this has been Ring of Fire Podcast. Join in next week.
See you next week.
Bye. I'm gonna...